This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Aftermarket Radio Network focused on our communication and leadership skills. And in our episode today, we have a great new guest. We will be discussing adaptive communication strategies, among other things, on our communication journey. With me is Rhonda Lee from Scale the Chaos. Hey, Rhonda, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Craig, thanks for having me. I'm excited about our conversation today.
This is going to be fun. So we met a while ago. Actually, it was at the Institute Summit down there in...
We were in Amelia Island.
Yes, that's right. Yep. And then Jimmy Lee, your husband's there with us. We had several other guests. I remember we all went out, got a wonderful dinner at a Mexican restaurant. It was a good time.
It was good.
I think so. Yeah. It's always nice to get out from the event and just go have a nice conversation with people. And that's why we are now talking today. I was talking with Jimmy. Guests from outside of our industry coming in to help us with our communication skills. This is beautiful. Although I guess you're not necessarily outside the industry. You're just one handshake, one hug away.
I'm in it by marriage.
There it is. Well, thank you, Rhonda. And hey, we have a word of the day on the show each episode. And today's word of the day is adaptive. We're going to go ahead and define that word for you after we first hear a word from our sponsors. Stop stressing over your business. You deserve a good night's sleep. The Institute's coaching helps you achieve success and financial peace. Learn more at weareTheInstitute.com/business-assessment. AutoFlow is your partner in technology. With AutoFlow, enhance your client interactions in a single thread before, during, and after the visit. To see how AutoFlow makes it simple, visit AutoFlow.com. Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call Shop Dog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Unlock your communication insights with Inbound's AI-powered call analytics for auto repair shops. Learn more at callinbound.com. Okay, we're back, and today's word of the day is adaptive. That is an adjective, folks. And Rhonda, why don't you go ahead and define that one for us?
Adaptive generally refers to the ability to adjust or modify something to suit different conditions or situations. It implies flexibility and responsiveness, allowing for change or adaptations to be made based on new information or circumstances.
Man, that's good. And adaptive communication is a topic that I understand is one you present on.
The presentation is called Transform Your Communication, Transform Your Life. And as we talk about it, you'll get a better idea as to why I believe that transforming your communication doesn't just transform the information that you are communicating, but it can actually transform your life.
Absolutely. We talk about communication, obviously, quite a bit on this show. The reason it exists is because, well, the automotive industry, auto repair in specific, aftermarket, or any part of it, bad reputation sometimes. And I do believe that a lot of it comes from communication struggles. We talk about it a lot. We've nodded to it a lot. And this show is hoping to do something about it. And I think that the listeners here are all on the same sort of thing. We're on a communication journey, and that is not an immediate transformation. Now, you've been on your own communication journey, and I understand that accelerated to a bit when you met Jimmy, or did you guys both meet on your journey and your paths just converge?
It depends on which journey you're talking about. If you're talking about my journey to public speaking, yes, that's when it kind of expanded, I guess, if you will. I was already working in corporate America at that time, had done a lot of speaking internally to teams, to companies, to organizations. Had done a lot of training. Wasn't until I met Jimmy and learned that he did a significant amount of public speaking as a profession that I even, it's not that I wasn't aware, but I never even considered it as a legitimate career, I guess, if you will.
Yeah, Jimmy's taken it to whole new levels. We did an episode with him recently on how he's attained his recent certifications.
That's also part of the story. So he happened to be at an ATI. And he bumped into two professional speakers. One of them was Ross Bernstein and Rob Foray. Rob Foray, he actually knew from college because Rob Foray was his brother's roommate. And so he was introducing Ross Bernstein, but out of the corner of his eye, he saw Rob Foray. And maybe you've heard this story, so I apologize to anybody who's heard this. saw Rob Ferret, made a beeline for Rob Ferret. And Jimmy's like, wait, you do this for a living? Like, people pay you to do this all the time? And Jimmy's like, I want to do this. And so Rob's like, oh yeah, I'm part of this NSA, which is National Speakers Association thing. And so is Ross. And you should check it out. There's actually this certified speaking professional. So he comes home from this ATI conference and says, honey, this is what I want to do. Did you know this thing even existed? Of course, I didn't know it. If he didn't know it existed, I didn't know it existed. He started doing the research. We found that there was a local chapter. Well, I say local. Local to us is Las Vegas. Still 2 hours away.
Yes. Yeah. You're down there in Southern Utah, right?
We signed up to attend the first meeting. That was a couple of years ago. He learned more about what it took to qualify to become a certified speaking professional through NSA and started the process of applying, because he had determined that even though he had not necessarily been a member of NSA, he had met all of the qualifications already. It was just a matter of documenting it, which took hours, by the way.
Yeah, I talked with Jimmy on that. It was episode 43 for our listeners back in May. We had Jimmy on talking about earning your CSP with Jimmy Lee.
Yeah, so it took him hours. He actually is just earning it this year. The matter of fact, the ceremony is, I believe, is Saturday.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so cool. I'm glad we're having this conversation right now, because I'm going to definitely reach out to him.
So within a couple of years, he's now gotten his CSP. And now I'm chapter president of our NSA Las Vegas chapter. So it's kind of funny how it's happened.
Well, congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
Oh, that's so cool. Obviously, I talk a lot about Toastmasters here. We just had election cycles in the Toastmaster clubs too. I'm imagining it's probably the same with the NSA.
Correct. Yes, we have, matter of fact, our board retreat was just last Saturday. We have 8 members on our board. We have around 83 members of our chapter monthly. We have various events in helping members build their speaking business, whereas Toastmasters is more specific about actual presentation skills and speech writing and presentation. NSA is more specific to building the business. That doesn't mean that we don't have discussions about presentation skills and that type of thing as well too, but it is more geared towards those who actually want to build a business out of it rather than just those who want to become better public speakers.
Yeah, that's why I haven't joined NSA yet.
Where are you located, Craig?
I'm in Michigan, so my chapter is a little further away. I think it's more towards the Ann Arbor area.
Okay, well, I mean, we've been driving 2 hours, and now with our move further north, we're actually 5 hours away. There's actually a different chapter that will be closer to us, but given what I have committed to do as president for the next year.
You've committed to a 5-hour commute.
Yeah, I committed to a 5-hour commute. So, but that's fine. I love it so much. So,
yeah, they become your people. Any type of club or group that's on a journey with you and working towards your goals with you, that becomes pretty special. And that's where, like, I love this part about your journey. It's not something that people just all of a sudden find themselves in. It is something that's worth pursuing. Communication skills require pursuit. And I don't always see people's desire to improve with action, if you will. And this is where we get into that topic of adaptive communication. And you shared a quote with me earlier when we were talking. I thought it was brilliant. The single biggest problem in communication.
Yeah, the single biggest problem with communication is the assumption that it has taken place. And what I love about that is one of the things that I have noticed as I manage teams, as I work with other people, even within family members, there's these gaps that we leave in our communication. And when we don't fill in those gaps, the people receiving that communication actually fill in the holes with their own stories, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And a lot of times we don't even realize we're leaving those gaps because it just becomes second nature. It's like, instead of muscle memory, it's like mind memory or communication memory, meaning it's just second nature to us, so we don't even have to think about it. So we forget to include those details. And a lot of times it's like, well, it seems really obvious to me. Okay, just because it's obvious to one person does not translate and mean that it's obvious to somebody else, right?
Yeah, we're all guilty of it. And I think gaps is the simple way of putting it too. I get very cerebral. I get it from my dad and everything's in my head. I have this ongoing dialogue. And of course, everyone else can hear this too. No. Not at all.
I am also known for things seem so obvious to me, whether it's communication, whether it's, you know, within the operation logistics processes field, which is where I reside the majority of the time. it took me a really long time to realize, okay, just because it seems so obvious to me doesn't mean that it's obvious to other people.
We hit on this all the time in our industry, auto repair. Like, we use terminology that to us is second nature. It rolls off our tongues. We see something, we can call out what this is. I mean, simple things like brake pads and rotors to us are immediate perfect image in our brain of exactly what those are. And to the average consumer is never the case.
Yeah, you're like, what else are we going to call them, right? The things that stop your car, you know?
Well, this is interesting because now when you get to this topic, your whole concept is helping people do things in business without it being chaotic. And I think you put it really well, helping leaders quickly identify and then adapt to the communication styles of the coworkers, customers, or family members, or even a perfect stranger that you meet on the street to have more meaningful connections. I think that's one element of it. But then you also were saying, launching and speaking, eventually into building training programs that help companies scale without chaos. We want to help companies scale without chaos.
And not only help scale without chaos, but generally speaking, most of the time when I step in, there's already chaos, which I tell people is actually a good sign because that means you have demand. If there's no chaos, there's no demand, right? So that means that you have a product or service that somebody wants. There's this either a gap or some sort of friction in them being able to receive it.
Every time I walk in a tire store, it's absolute chaos. And it's chaos because there's some demand for tires. And that's a good thing for the tire store, of course.
Exactly. And it's why Costco is busy, right? And it feels chaotic when you go to Costco or, you know, any other place where there's chaos, it's because there's demand. If there was no demand, there would be nobody there and everybody would be sitting around twiddling their thumbs with no chaos.
But they'd be perfectly organized. It'd be wonderful, right?
They probably would because they'd have all the time in the world to get that way.
Nothing else to do.
They'd be so bored, they would organize the drawers, right?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So this is the thing though. Now, when we start talking about adaptive communication, getting out of chaos, whatever, everybody's chaos. Every individual person that we meet, there's chaos going on. And I see this all the time. We start talking about adaptive communication. We're talking about leadership skill. We're talking about someone who can take where they're at, observe where someone else is at, and tailor their method of communication towards the individual for the ideal outcome.
Correct. Because not only does everybody have chaos, but everybody has their own flavor of chaos, right? Depending on the personality types of those who are participating in the chaos, right? I also started discovering that, like, even team culture or company organizational culture is based off of the different types of personalities that make up and what the ratio is. Maybe they have more of a certain type and less of another type than another organization does. So a lot of times it comes down to it influences your culture. It influences you getting what you want. It influences expectations. It literally influences everything.
The top shops in the industry don't stop at one location. At the Institute, we work with shop owners who want to expand, whether it's opening a second shop, acquiring new businesses, or building systems for long-term growth. Some of our clients are aiming for hundreds of shops, and we're helping them get there. Ready to scale? To get started, visit weareintheinstitute.com/business-assessment. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from AutoFlow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using AutoFlow. With AutoFlow's automated text updates, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Ready to boost your auto repair shop's success? ShopDog Marketing is here to help you. We put customers first using AI to create standout content that ranks. Harness the power of mobile first and voice search and let our expert team help you. Sweeten your revenue with more car count. ShopDog Marketing offers a free guide on using AI to drive more repair orders. Get your guide today and watch your auto repair shop thrive. Visit shopdogmarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Now, our robust VoIP platform ensures you stay connected while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound. For proven expertise and unmatched innovation, visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make.
I work at a software company. Developers have usually not the most outgoing personality. It's okay if they hear that. We talk about this internally all the time. They know they're introverts and they can do their meetings. If I'm in on one of those meetings, for me, it's awkward as all get up because they are all, like I've heard it discussed in high warmth, high competence. It's high competence, almost zero warmth.
Because they don't see the need, right? I actually tend to lean a little bit more to that side. My day is not destroyed if somebody doesn't tell me good morning, right? If they walk in and they just start rattling off, okay, let's do this, right? I tend to be that way. But I've also learned that other people, even though I'm not sensitive to that, other people are. They want that good morning. They want that warm fuzzies, right? Salespeople are also very different. And I can say this confidently because I'm married to one.
Yeah, very high warmth, high confident individual, Jimmy. Yes.
And just like you were talking about, you know, engineers have a certain personality type. Salespeople do too. It's what makes them good at their job.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you this. I'm an outgoing person. I generally communicate in a high warmth environment. I try to, at least. I can slip in and out of both modes in different moments. And I have had team members that are very much, I don't want to say in a negative mindset, but they're just not up all the time. You have some people who have their baseline is just really flat and they aren't going to show a lot of emotion. They might express frustration. Like if I do have to drip out of warm mode and I just do a quick chat, internal chat message, for example, with a clear task that needs to get done and there's no warmth or emojis or anything else in it, like normal, they sometimes, certain individuals can view that as hostility, when it was not intended as hostility at all. And now all of a sudden I'm stuck addressing feelings regarding a very pragmatic statement that it was just a matter of fact thing. I might've been typing it with a smile on my face, singing a tune. It didn't come out that way.
Previous experiences affect how we show up to work. It affects how we show up in our families. It affects how we show up anywhere, right? And it really affects at the foundational level, how safe we feel in various situations, right? And so even though there's no intent of aggressiveness, I mean, I do not enjoy conflict. I don't look for conflict at all. However, I'm not conflict avoidant and I have been accused of coming across as high conflict.
Oh, just because you don't avoid it.
Not because I don't avoid it, but I'm also kind of direct because I'm also about efficiency. I'm also about, you know, getting stuff done. So I have to remind myself that, I mean, people are emotional beings. We are not hiring robots, right?
No, we're not.
There needs to be that emotional intelligence. So that's another part of this as well. It's our prior experiences. I mean, there's so many things that influence how we show up in addition to our personality type or personality style that influence our communication style. Like I mentioned before, prior experiences, how were they treated at a previous job? How were they treated growing up? How were they, what types of previous experiences have they had interacting with other people? Also their personal well-being. Are they sick? Are they sleeping enough? Are they eating enough? What is their mental health? You know, do they feel safe? That type of thing. What is the current situation? Are they under tight deadlines? Are they overscheduled? Is there some sort of high pressure or something going on? And then of course, there's that difference in personality. Some are more direct. They want a lot of data. Some people are more extroverted, more introverted. And it's also becoming a generational thing. I was actually sitting in a performance review a few years ago with my immediate report, who I reported to was the CEO, founder of the company. And I had actually, not to toot my own horn, had done some tremendous things and had been exceptionally productive. And the only feedback that I got in that performance review was, well, you should use more emojis in your communication.
Nice. Well, always good advice for one. But
the irony is we have heard plenty of times, don't use emojis, right? So it's based off of preference. It's based off of generation. But then there's also, emojis mean different things to different people, right? And obviously he was referring to, you know, text communication, which it has increased significantly, especially in the workplace, right? So there's a lot of things that are influencing these communication styles and these personality styles.
Yeah, but going into a situation too, like getting feedback without getting appreciation is a challenge sometimes. We had a conversation actually with Kent Bullard and Sarah Fraser. Sarah was at dinner with us back when we were in Florida.
Yes, I remember Sarah.
Yeah, and Sarah is really good with the generational topics. And one of the things she talked about is millennials and Gen Z too, more frequent conversation with affirmations is a valuable thing. I feel like that doesn't happen a lot. I have some friends and some relatives who really struggle sometimes with taking themselves out of their health issues or other scenarios and going into work with a smile on their face. And I've seen how it affects them multiple jobs, typically, because they tend not to stay in one long when this is the issue. And they run into the same people problems at every single one of the workplaces. And when I have a conversation, it's like, well, describe for me the scenario that you took offense to this thing this person said or something like that. And they said, well, and this, that, and the other thing. And long story short, the thing that I run into when I say, well, why don't you just try smiling when you walk in? So why should I have to pretend to be happy when I'm feeling sad, sick, this, that, or the other thing? Why should I have to adapt my communication style, in other words, to make people respond more positively to me? Shouldn't they adapt to me? And it's like, okay, well, I think now we're getting into this topic of like what defines a leader. If you're in a leadership role and influence, that's a necessary skill. If you want to get better outcomes, it does come to you. But what do you tell people, Rhonda, when you're teaching on this topic? You must get this question a lot. Like, how come I have to change? What do you tell people?
Correct. Not only do I get this, but I actively teach this. Because, I mean, this is a 3-4+ hour presentation, and it's just starting to, you know, scratch the surface, right? There's so much to this. And so after I've kind of, you know, presented kind of the foundational stages or concepts about it, you know, I say, you know, doesn't this sound exhausting? Like, communicating properly is exhausting. Why would I want to do that? Why should I have to do that, right? So there's a couple of questions that I generally get asked. The first one is, why should someone adapt to someone else? Like, isn't that authentic? And my answer is, well, it depends on what you want. If you value the relationship, if you want a more connected team, if you want a stronger culture, if you want better results, then yes, the effort is definitely worth it. If you don't care about the relationship, then don't adapt, right? So then there's the other question of, well, why do I have to be the one that adapts, right? Because I have kind of a funny story where I had a boss who he felt like he and I were struggling to communicate. I didn't feel like we were struggling to communicate as much as he wanted me to submit to what he wanted me to submit to. And I wasn't. And it's super easy to classify that as, oh, we have a communication breakdown. So he recommended that I read the book, Crucial Conversations. It's definitely worth reading. And one of the takes that they take the entire time that I was reading the book is we need to take responsibility for our own communication. You know, if we can't control how somebody else is communicating. And I kept waiting for the spot in the book where it says, well, if you feel like you're having a problem communicating with someone, you should have them read this book. But they didn't. Right? So it all comes down to, why do I have to be the one to adapt, right? And it's really about taking back that power to do what it is that you want to do. I also learned another life lesson. Sorry if I'm doing too many stories. Early on, it was shortly after I got divorced many years ago. I wanted to find more friends who were also single. So I kind of inserted myself into a singles group with our church. And I started seeing all of these pictures and all of these activities going on. And I started to kind of get a little jealous and think, why wasn't I invited? How come people aren't including me?
Yeah, a common sentiment I've heard people express before. Yeah.
Yeah. So then it hit me one day, wait a minute, I can organize my own activities, right? And so I did. And then I quickly realized that not only by organizing my own activities was I invited, but I now got to choose what we did, where we went, what food we ate. Like, I was able to customize and create these events and activities around what I preferred. And it wasn't a control thing. Like, there were a lot of people who loved to be included. They were waiting to be included just like I was, right? And it really comes down to that mindset. We have the mindset of creating it for ourselves or waiting to be invited. And I think that's one of the biggest things that sets us apart between, are we a leader or not?
Longing. I think a lot of people have, they feel awkward or they feel unwelcome or they just don't know where they fit in into certain circumstances. And there's some interesting elements that you've applied there. One is you took control and invited people into something that is comfortable for you. But the other side of it is, gosh, you were tapped into the fact that other people felt the same. And that was key.
And that's where that empathy and that emotional intelligence comes in. But really what that situation taught me about communication was that we can sit around and we can wait for others to invite us into the kind of connection and that we want, or we can go first and we can lead them, right? And when we're the ones that are leading, we're the ones that go where we want to go. We can lead them where we want to go. And it's not necessarily about insisting that the other person adopts, it's leading them there, right? So otherwise, we can hold out for them to change, especially if we're not communicating to them that we even want them or need them to change or our needs aren't being met. I mean, how many times, one of the things Jimmy told me when we got married was he was like, I am not a mind reader, right? And I've had to remind him multiple times, neither am I, right? And so, I mean, how often do we sit around and wait for other people?
We do it a lot. I think that actually is where most relationships simply falter. Like my mother didn't have a great relationship with parts of her family. And so consequently, aunts and uncles on her side of the family just didn't think they wanted anything to do with us. When my grandmother passed away, and I got a call from my aunt on that side, I wasted no time going out there and spent a lot of time with them. And it was a wonderful time with them, by the way. As much as the loss was a tragedy for losing a grandmother, very difficult. But it's like, oh, I just figured you guys didn't want anything to do with us. We figured you guys didn't want anything to do with us. Like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. We're both sitting around waiting for the other people to make the first move. And nothing ever happened.
Yeah. And not necessarily to dwell on what you missed out on, but I mean, you missed out on years that, you know, yes, moving forward, let's focus on what you have now and moving forward. But I mean, if you do have the opportunity to change the course of some sort of event like that, why not do it? Why not do it now?
Oh, yeah. It's been such an important connection now in my life too. Just making that first step to make that new bridge and just start going at it. It's been wonderful. Been to my cousin's weddings now and we're excited for them to having their new babies. And we're just so thrilled to be a part of that stuff. And none of that would have ever happened if someone didn't make a move. And it was, I got to credit my aunt with that. She reached out and she needed to let us know that grandma went into hospice. And even though she knew my mom was probably not going to respond well, who knows? Tough stuff sometimes. Families can really do it and businesses will do it.
And you bring up another point in that there's usually a million justifiable reasons as to why we think the other person should change or they should be the ones that change first, but it doesn't get us what we want, right?
Correct. Very interesting. And I see in workplaces, this usually results in either someone being terminated or a team member moving on or looking for alternate options. The culture of a shop, in particular in our industry, can be so dramatically different with individuals on the team. And if they aren't clicking and gelling well, it seems to be the determining variable. But some people naturally click. Sometimes it takes a lot of effort to make things click. And most people I meet are not willing to put in a lot of effort. Like you said, it can be exhausting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and when you say it clicks, they're putting in a lot of effort. They're trying a lot of different things. And what they're subconsciously doing is trying to adapt, right? And without a roadmap of identifying how they need to adapt and what it is that they need to do it to adapt, they're just throwing spaghetti at the wall, seeing what sticks, right? And unfortunately, and sometimes they stumble on the solution quickly, but other times it's exhausting. Oftentimes I find that people are, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different response. I find that to be more true. They keep trying the same. Well, I kept trying, Okay, but you were trying the same thing every single time, right?
Yeah, and were you trying out of a genuine interest in and meeting them where they are, out of care for them, or were you just trying to get a certain result out of an individual for another purpose that had more to do with you? And I think that's something that we also run into. That's interesting. We could go down that road. I've been reading C.S. Lewis a lot lately, and his book Mere Christianity, classic literature. He talks about, you know, what does it mean to love people and treat others how you want to be treated, and you want to have hope for them and their success. It doesn't necessarily mean an emotional affection. The funny thing is, when you start treating someone like you want the best for them, you start to feel more positive towards that other person. But the action is what is in play here.
Well, and we're also seeing a significant shift in the workplace. Back in the day, and I say back in the day, and I would say my generation is kind of straddling both generations, but there was a time where for your work or your career, you expected to show up, shut up, do your work, don't have any opinions. You know, I mean, it was almost the same generation that was like, kids are supposed to be seen and not heard, right? Like, don't bring your personal business. When you walk through those doors, you are no longer a person. You are an employee, right? But that's shifting now. The workforce is no longer willing to accept that. The workforce is saying, no, I have feelings. I have needs. Don't treat me poorly, right? Like back in the day, employers could get away with treating their employees poorly and they were never held accountable. But we're seeing this significant shift, and that's not okay anymore. And so, yeah, learning how to communicate effectively on both sides, because you also don't want to come in with a fist and say, you know, I'm sad and you need to accommodate me. And, you know, there's got to be give and take, and there's a healthy middle in there. But we have families. I was a single mom in the workplace for many, many years. And there was a lot of bias that I had to overcome, because generally single moms are viewed as unreliable. They're constantly missing work because they have a sick kid, or they got to do this, or they got to do that, right?
Some substantial priorities that they're trying to juggle. Yes.
I was lucky enough to find some organizations that were more accommodating than others, but we're seeing them. Don't get me wrong. There have been a couple of shifts that I've seen since my kids have all grown up and I no longer am in that position that I'm like, man, I wish it had been that easy for me when...
Yeah, no, it'd be a fair thing to look back on some things, but that's the kind of change that our generations are trying to push forward. And that's important, because I think a lot of us that came up in those sort of environments, my grandpa was a bit of a tyrant in our auto repair shop, a very, what I would call an authoritarian shop owner, intimidating figure. And it was that facts, fear, force type of communication style that he would employ. If you were having a box of donuts brought in by a customer and the team was gathered around feeling great about how happy they made that customer, my grandpa rolls in, like, you'd put the donut down and get back to work. Like, nope.
Yeah, because it was this authoritarian. It didn't matter what kind of culture it was, because he ruled with an iron fist, right? But that.
Unless he brought the donuts, then it's different.
Yeah.
No, it was fun times. But now here's the thing. Now, one of the things I feel like as a leader, as someone who's responsible for team members, look, even leaders have rough days, sometimes a lot of pressure. And when you feel exhausted, have pressure, or are just in general frustrated, dealing with a personal issue, maybe, how do you advise those individuals to communicate with their teams? Because sometimes just trying to block all that out and try to transition into this other mode of leader mode where I have to watch for them, that isn't, you're still a human being. And that is sometimes, I feel like, the most challenging thing. What is it? What do you do? Do you ask your team members for help? Like, listen, here's where I'm coming at from today. Are you transparent? What's the deal?
So yes, the transparency and the vulnerability goes a long way, but you still have to maintain professional boundaries, right? Because you're right. And this is something that I have struggled with, because there have been days where I have thought, gosh, I'm a person too. I have bad days. Why do I always have to be perfect? But what I found is that the more I extended grace to my team members, within reason, right? I still held people accountable. There were still expectations. But as I extended grace, they were more than happy to extend that grace in return when it was my turn. Because I have been in positions where I have had personal issues come up. I have also approached it from a keep it personal. So 6 years ago, I actually had a daughter pass away.
So sorry.
I appreciate that. So every year on the anniversary of her passing away, I take the day off. About 3 years ago, I was working with an organization that I had started working with after she passed. So they weren't necessarily aware of her passing. And we had just launched a huge project that I oversaw. And I had told everybody, I'm taking Friday off, that we were launching the project on Monday. And I said, regardless of the outcome of the project, I will not be in the office on Friday. But I didn't tell anybody why. Initially, I was like, it's none of their business. So fast forward, I mentioned it multiple times because I didn't want people to be caught off guard and be like, where the heck is Rhonda? We just launched this and she's gone, right? And so I mentioned it again. And one of my team members said, well, where are you going to be? Are you going to, you know, launch this project and then run off into Disneyland and leave us all hanging, you know, kind of thing? And I said, no, I will be at the cemetery because it's the anniversary of my daughter passing away. Boom, right? Mic drop, right? Nobody ever asked me where I was if I took time off, right? Nobody ever asked me that again. But look, in hindsight, I definitely could have handled that a little bit differently and said, hey, look, because the deadline, I didn't get to choose the deadline. It was imposed on me. So we do what we have to do.
Otherwise, it would have been different.
Yeah, I would have chosen a different deadline, right? But it was imposed on me. I was trying to be a professional and do what was asked of me, regardless of what was going on in my personal life. But I did hold this hard boundary of I will be out of the office this day, regardless.
Yeah, almost would like look at it as missed opportunity to allow your team to support you in that moment, right?
Yes, absolutely. Because then everybody was afraid to say anything.
Yeah, and they would have felt bad for even asking you the question before once they found out what it was for. And that wasn't your intention either. Yeah, interesting.
No, my intention was because, like I said, for a long while, I believed highly in the separation of church and state, right? Like my personal life was my personal life. My professional life was my professional life. It did get blurred when my daughter did pass away because obviously there was no hiding that. Like, I mean, everybody from my office showed up to her funeral in support of that, right? And it was actually a really beautiful thing for my coworkers to support me in that way. But then moving on to a different organization, you know, it's kind of a sticky, you know, people, you know, I don't generally lead with, yeah, my daughter died, you know, a few years ago.
That would be a tough lead, right? Yeah.
Yeah. All I'm saying is I could have handled it differently. If I could go back, I would have handled it differently. But it's a really good reminder of making sure that you do have that, you do show up as a person, because I do feel like when your team recognizes that their leader is a person,
show up as a person.
It gives them permission to be a person as well.
Yeah, show up as a person. Yeah, I think that's a great way to summarize it. And just by doing that, it's going to give you a lot more of, like you described, grace with those other individuals too. And you just described something as you're explaining the story. It's like, interesting, you mentioned like separation of church and state, good analogy for that. Like, there's this boundary and sometimes you just don't cross these streams in some of these contexts. And every individual on our team, that boundary is going to look different.
Oh, absolutely.
Finding out what that boundary is one of the initial tasks that a leader would have in getting to know their team. And then that is probably the easiest starting point for adapting to that individual from there.
Absolutely. Learning where it is and then respecting it, because everybody's is going to be different. Nobody's is going to be right or wrong. You know, as long as they can still perform their job, their boundaries are not right or wrong. Or I guess I should say they aren't wrong. They are right.
Yeah, fair enough. Like, hey, you got a Michigander on our team. You put a couple of people in Michigan on one team like we have now with my team at AutoFlow. We're going to talk about the weather for about 2.5 minutes at least before we jump into the context of a meeting. It's going to happen.
And coming into that, just knowing it, setting that expectation, it doesn't bother anybody, right? If you set that expectation up front. But if somebody comes in with the idea that they're going to start immediately right on time, and then you guys spend 2 minutes talking about the weather, somebody's going to get their feathers in a ruffle, right?
You know it every time. Yeah, I tell you, it's hot in Texas. I've been able to figure that much out. But how hot, guys? Golly. No.
I grew up in Texas, so I can tell you it's really hot.
Only recently so this year, I've learned it's been slow getting hot this year compared to other years. So yep. See, I've figured out how to milk out the information I want from my team members. That's adaptation too.
Well, I mean, but that's also another thing to clue into as to what's affecting their communication, their personality, right? Like, especially if they are working in a shop and it's really hot, they're working in really miserable conditions, right? Which is just going to, you know, make things worse. So,
yeah. And this is the thing, especially for folks that are not dealing with the weather of their specific region, but in their own mind, the storms that are going on in there sometimes. It is so hard for some people to separate those out and still try to function. And knowing that's the reality for some family members and some friends, I really have a lot more grace today than I used to for what I perceive sometimes as a bad attitude at work. Like if I perceive what seems like a downward bad attitude or doesn't care type of a thing, I've learned to just say, hey, is everything okay?
Yep. Get curious.
Yeah. Get curious. That's such a great point. That's the easiest way. It's part of being a person. Showing up as a person is being curious, I would hope.
Yeah. Most people do not have malicious intent. Whereas most people, they automatically assume malicious intent, but really we need to assume that most people do not have malicious intent and there's something else going on.
Yeah, it's so, so hard sometimes. There's also there's ethical boundaries too. And there's business, like, is it okay to ask a team member about a medical issue? Now, if they brought it up, that's easy, I would think. But how much do you even probe?
I would never specifically ask them about a medical condition unless it was something that had already been discussed and we were already giving some sort of accommodation for them, right? But you can always ask, hey, is everything okay? I noticed this and I know it's out of character, so I'm concerned about you. Is there something that I can do? Is there some sort of additional support you need that I can provide? You know, that kind of thing. You can be curious. Yeah.
Making assumptions, filling in those gaps, right?
Exactly.
Which is an easy thing to fall victim to. It's like, lousy attitude. I guess they don't like their job. They don't care. We're going to get rid of them. Automotive days, you don't see that often too much now because there's a technician shortage. But boy, back in the days when grandpa thought technicians grew on trees and they got a chewing out sometimes for being perceived as lazy when who knows what's going on.
When they have a broken leg, but he's not noticing the cast. Right. Or whatever.
Yeah. My grandpa literally used the phrase all the time. Oh, so-and-so has got an ingrown toenail or something this week. It was funny. I'm going to get my brother on.
I mean, it's totally possible that they actually did have an ingrown toenail, but he didn't care.
No, my dad, incidentally, growing up, constantly told us how to trim our nails. So we never got an ingrown toenail. So I think it left an imprint on him hearing. It's like, don't want those. I guess they're very bad. Yeah. But no, this is interesting. So lots to talk about on this. Boy, a 3 to 4 hour presentation on adaptive communication. I guess that question I would have for you here as we wrap up, Rhonda, where do we get tuned in to if we wanted to hear you do that? Is that in our circuits? Is Jimmy going to be introducing any of your courses into our circuits?
The few times that I've done it in the automotive industry, Jimmy has actually presented with me. And it's actually kind of fun to present with him.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So I talk about how, you know, he's a salesperson and I'm not, and we have very different personalities. But, you know, so we classify him as bird personalities. So we have doves, owl, peacocks, and eagles. So Jimmy is very much a peacock. You know, he wears his feathers proudly, right? And I am very much an owl. I like my spreadsheets. I want to have good data before I make my decisions and all of this stuff, right? So we're very different. But at the same time, our secondary personality trait is the same. So that's really where we kind of meet up. But even though there is, at times it can create some issues or some struggles or challenges or whatever you want. Most of the time it is complementary. And we've just gotten to where we just laugh about the differences now. It's kind of funny.
You guys are a really cool couple. So I would love to see you guys co-present sometime. So I hope we get that opportunity.
Well, any of the shows that you go to, tell them, hey, I want Rhonda and Jimmy Lee here talking about their transform communication, transform your life. We also come into organizations and we can do it in organizations as well. There's a couple of them where they haven't had us come into their organization, but they have implemented it. And then they're like, oh my gosh, it changed everything for, you know, or whatever. So
that's what I love to hear.
So it's kind of fun to hear some of the success stories. It's fun to see the light bulb go on and they're like, oh, that makes so much sense as to why my service advisor and this tech don't get along is because they're this and they're this. And oh, and no wonder everybody doesn't know what to do with me because I'm a peacock, but the rest of them are, you know, they're, I've heard that too. So it's just kind of interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking of the film, The Other Guys. I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly. Such a good one. Comedy film, folks. But yeah, no, this is good. So, all right. So Jimmy Lee and Rhonda Lee, yeah, look for an opportunity. The fact that communication can change lives is, I think, obvious, but man, it's worth our focus, folks. That's the thing. That's why the show exists. Rhonda, thank you so much for joining me on this one today. Is there any other remarks you want to make as we wrap up this conversation?
No, I think we covered it. Thank you so much for inviting me. This has been fun. I love communicating about communication.
I know. Yeah, it's one of those things. There's plenty to talk about talking, right? This is fun. So, hey, we appreciate hearing from you, Rhonda. We appreciate hearing from you, our listeners. Please reach out to us with any comments, questions, or suggestions. Go ahead and send us an email at speakup@craigoneal.net. If you have any questions for Rhonda, Rhonda, is there an email that you would recommend?
Sure. They can email me directly at Rhonda, R-H-O-N-D-A, @scalethechaos.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, and those are probably the best two places to connect with me. I also have a website, scalethechaos.com. You can learn about all of the programs and presentations that I do on my website.
Great. We'll get that link in our show notes for you, folks. So please check that out. And remember, while you're on the site, check out the other shows on the Aftermarket Radio Network. We have Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow, and Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest. The Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, and the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. And remember, folks, as you're out there, remember, listen up, speak up, and adapt your communication style.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Craig on your favorite podcast listening app and on his YouTube channel. Let him know what you'd like him to speak up about. Craig is all for advancing the automotive service aftermarket.